Oh, hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of G-Slade's Indie Music Showcase. It's been a while since I've talked to you, had a very busy month of February writing new music and gonna have some exciting stuff coming your way, but I am excited today to be back on the podcast talking to Abby and the Roses from England, and I had a great time talking to them and we played their newest single. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you check out the sponsor of the show, G-Slade Music. Look up G-Slade Music on Instagram or Twitter. Go to gslade.com. Look up G-Slade on Spotify. Check out that latest single, Cinnamon Buns, which you hear in the background. And wait for that sequel that's coming out soon. Just put that idea on the shelf, if you would. And sit back and enjoy the show. Have a great chat with Abby and the Roses. Here we go. All right. Anyway, welcome to G-Slade's Indie Music Showcase. I just talked to as many indie musicians as I can from all around the world. Really happy to have you guys on today. So I'm talking to Abby and the Roses. And so we got Abby.
Hello.
And Nave and Nick. There. All right. So I always like to talk about where you guys are in the world. Get that going. So I know, you know, where you are, because we literally talk to people all over the place.
We're in London at the moment, aren't we?
Amidst a lockdown in London.
Yeah. We probably should have been together. We're actually breaking.
We're together for work purposes.
Yeah, well, we are, but it's work purposes. Yeah, so we're allowed.
I was going to say, everybody looks related. I'm sure you're good.
Right? Yeah,
we are in the same bubble, sister. Actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I interviewed Alex and she's gonna kill me for forgetting the girls from About Bunny, that band. I don't know if you know them.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
But they're based in London as well. So and then I had a couple of other guests that were also based like right outside of London, like near Sheffield and things like that. So
sweet.
Yeah, I hear all the lockdown stories over there. Apparently it's pretty strict, huh?
It has been, yeah.
Yeah.
On
off. Yeah. It's up and down. Yeah. Bit of freedom soon, though, we think.
Yeah, we're on our way out. Thank God.
Nice. Awesome. So were you guys touring and stuff before all this or doing any live gigs locally?
Yeah, we were supposed to do some gigs last summer, weren't we? We did have a couple of things confirmed, but obviously it all got cancelled, unfortunately. But just shows here and there, strings of shows, as opposed to a tour. But yeah. We did actually come to America as well, didn't we?
Yeah, we did a few shows over there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Where'd you go in America?
We did Rockwood in New York. Nice. And then we did... Oh, go on, then.
We went to LA after that.
Peppermint Club? Is that a place?
Yeah. I'm sure Peppermint Club.
Yeah.
It sounds like a place. I live in Mississippi. I have no idea what's going on in LA.
I've been some places in Santa Monica and stuff like that. But yeah, a few smaller venues in LA, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, I know like United States is one country, but it's really like five.
It's massive, for sure.
Yeah,
it feels huge. Like when you go there as someone from England, it feel like you feel how huge it is over there for you guys. I'm jealous.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, I could literally drive for 24 straight hours and not get to the West Coast.
Crazy.
Yeah, in fact, from here, if I drove 24 hours, I'm in central Mississippi. No idea if you're familiar with the geography, but you know the Gulf of Mexico, like you know Mexico and Florida. All right, Mississippi is Mississippi's in that border, in that curve. So the southern. So it's Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas. So
Have you had bad weather?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because down here we're used to heat, humidity, and sweating and mosquitoes, and we had single digit temperatures, you know, Fahrenheit. I don't know what it calculates to.
That's
Celsius.
Low.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cold.
Especially for us. I mean, usually we don't get below freezing, you know. We rarely even get below freezing. So it was basically shut down for a week, and it really showed how poorly we are prepared for stuff like that.
Wow.
So I was like, can we just get back to what I call plague normal, which is just being on lockdown, but being able to go get bread, you know?
Yeah.
Like, let's just get
things we miss, isn't it?
all of a sudden I was like, you know, the COVID stuff on that bed. Let's just get back to that. Let's get out of this weather situation. You know, so
different types of miserable.
It's amazing what you get used to as you go along. But anyway, we're not a weather podcast. Let's talk some music. So yeah, I found you guys when I was I like to go through on Instagram and Twitter and just look up the indie music hashtag, because I figure if people are tagging their stuff indie music, it's probably in the same vein. Some of it is weird, but yeah, sometimes I find some good bands, and I stumbled across your stuff and reached out. I'm glad we got this to work. But anyway, give me an idea, kind of a background of the band, you know, how you guys came together and what you're, you know, working on, kind of like what your goals are, you know, what's going on with you guys and how did you get started?
Well, we can answer it together.
All right.
We've got a mutual friend, myself and Abby, and that's how we first started sort of writing together. And then we developed the idea of doing a bit more of a full band project. And then Abby and Maeve, you met online, didn't you?
Yeah, that was nearly coming on. Is it nearly 2 years or over 2 years ago now?
Yeah, it must be at least a year and a half.
Yeah,
it's been a couple of years, but we didn't know each other. It was just like Abby put out a post looking for backing singers and I said yes, and then we met in London and then it turned out that we got on really well, so that was good.
And I love.
Nice. So what does everybody do in the band?
Well, I am the lead singer and you do backing vocals, don't you?
Yeah.
And then when we start playing live again, hopefully a few instruments as well helping out in that.
Yeah, so we kind of like to look at like how much can we do between the three of us, because it's like a vibe. Not that we're like against other people, but like it's a vibe the three of us.
Simpler. So, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and
then I'll do a bit of guitar and sort of some backing singing stuff as well. And
okay, nice.
Maybe a bit of piano, but hopefully we'll be doing a bit more sort of, we've got a bit more MIDI stuff now that we're going to start using live, and a few more sound thickeners. So it's sort of when the time comes, we'll go to the drawing board and really try and get the fullest sound we can, as you say, with the three of us to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah. You really want to get that low end in there really to complete the sound, right?
A little definitely, bit of mate. Yeah.
Drums and bass. Well, I know I've seen people approach it two different ways. A band called The Spider Accomplice out in LA, they're just two people, right? It's a guy on guitar and then a lead singer. And she sings, he shreds, and then they literally have programmed drums. I mean, he programs them, but they even do that live. They put that through the, you know, PA system there. And so they, you know, track it all out beforehand and then do like the lead guitar and vocals live, and they put on a pretty good show. And then I've talked to other bands that will actually just hire people just for performances, you know?
Yeah. So we're in the same boat, really. We've got similar options, as you say. So it's more like, especially budget as well, that sort of thing. So it's just like working out if and when to use people to take it live, or if there's something we can do with a bit more a stripped back sound, or so it's options. Good to have options.
We did a festival, didn't we, back when festivals were a thing, and that one was really cool because we did that one as like a full band thing. We had like live drums and bass,
Had more of the full band thing, didn't we? Definitely, it did work to a certain degree.
I've heard of festivals.
They were good, weren't they?
Yeah, I have a faint recollection. Yeah, I had just actually gotten obsessed with them when they ended. I was like, oh shit, you know, I had one or two on the horizon for 2020 I was going to attend and see bands I'd never seen. And it's fun to take a road trip, because like we were talking about America being big, it was like a 8-hour drive, you know, to go see it. So where would you guys even be if you just went east for 8 hours?
Which one is it?
8 hours.
Oh god, I'm rubbish at geography.
We'd be somewhere in Europe, wouldn't we? East from us is
Europe. you'd hit the sea, and you could get a boat to France and probably drive to Paris in 8 hours.
Yeah, you'd probably be somewhere. Yeah, because I've done it actually. Yeah, you'd probably be somewhere in the middle of France.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then going the other way, you could probably get to the coast, and you'd be in Cornwall in about 6 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't say west because I figured that was the Atlantic.
Yeah, all yeah. that. Maybe a bit of Ireland as well.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Quick
I'm not an expert on European geography, but I have that bit, like England, ocean, you know. cool. So, but, you know, fortunately, doing live gigs isn't the only way in modern music, right, to get out there. There's all the streaming sites, Spotify, Apple Music, and all that, which I take advantage of. I got your Spotify pulled up, so we'll get to that shortly and play something and talk about those songs. So what right now is your main avenue for distributing your music? What have you guys got the best success with?
We were actually discussing that today. So we've been using a digital distributor, DistroKid. And then your fella, is it his band? They're using Ditto,
yeah.
And they seem to offer different packages of how you can get some sort of online promotions through the distributor. But DistroKid don't really seem to have that at the moment. So we're thinking about going down that route next time,
yeah,
just to see if we can get more publicity from it. Really, more pushing for playlists and that sort of thing.
Yeah, DistroKid is good if you just want very easy, basic distribution to streaming. But you even got to pay extra for like YouTube and stuff. Whereas the first one I ever used was CD Baby. Did you guys ever look at that one?
Yeah,
that one before. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a little more costly because you have to pay like every album is like so many dollars or euros or whatever. I don't know. What do you guys spend?
Pounds.
I'm never sure if it's euros or pounds or whatever, you know, we just have dollars. So anyway, yeah, so with CD Baby it cost me about, I think it was like $60 every time I put an album up, whereas with DistroKid it's like $20 or $30 a year, and you can put out as much as you want, but there's not as much distribution unless you pay.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on what you're trying to get exposed to. Do you know where you're getting the most listens right now though? I know for me, it's music wise, it's Spotify or SoundCloud, but the podcast actually gets more traffic on YouTube. What have you guys seen?
It's like ours is Spotify, isn't it?
Yeah.
We do get, like, if we do any live sort of live film stuff, that's usually better on our socials. Yeah, for as far as like the tracks go, it's definitely Spotify.
Sweet. So I'm looking at your discography on Spotify right now, and so it's all singles up here. You don't have like an album per se up.
No, yeah. I guess the way the digital streaming's working at the moment, it's like you can submit your individual tracks for, say, playlists and stuff like that. So it's sort of it seems to be. You lose out if you put just a chunk of music up there, because then people can lose some of those tracks within that. So it's better just to release them as a single by single, but they might still be part of that, like a core project EP or an album or something like that.
Yeah. I think it's really hard if you're an independent band, because who's going to be out there waiting for an album to drop until you've got traction? So you're trying to get traction up. I think singles is the way to go.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, that makes sense. You could kind of like release a single, get momentum, and then release another single to keep the momentum or grow it. Yeah, I guess I'm just, I don't know, it may be because I'm almost 40, but I just love albums, you know, because that's what we had when I was a kid, right? You know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I do think we would one day. It's just not quite at that point with the audience where we want it. So
yeah, it's not just you that has that philosophy. I've seen people just like, there's no point in putting an album out. You know, I've had people tell me, quit doing albums. I'm like, I like albums. I like the look, the aesthetic, right? Of going to a discography and seeing, well, you know, let's see what they sounded like on that album, and let's see how they changed for this album. And probably why I'm not famous, among other reasons, but you know.
I do think there's a charm in an album that you can't beat. Like, I do, even though we release singles, I do like listening to albums.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Artistry in it. Definitely. There's a story. It's nice to do.
It's, as you said, that's part of the journey, isn't it? So you're probably getting towards that, building that exposure. So then you're not just dropping it to anyone and trying to push it.
Mm.
So as far as your writing goes, and I was talking about older bands and albums and whatnot. Who influenced you guys to even go from being fans to actual, you know, performers and artists?
My influences, well, my dad was really into music, so I sort of grew up listening to all of his influences, which were sort of Van Morrison and Fleetwood and Stones and Beatles. So I was always had a very musical household and was singing from a very young age. So that's sort of why I wanted to get into it. But yeah, I don't know, what about you?
Same. My dad was into music. He used to listen to like rock and roll and that, and Chuck Berry. Got a guitar when I was really young and just always had it there in the background, and got into the heavy metal and that as a teenager, and picked it up, put it down, started writing songs about 13, and then, as I say, never really stopped. And then studied music, left it for a bit, but always sort of have it there. Really? Okay. What about maybe?
I'm the opposite. So mine was my mum. My mum was the musical person, but I always wanted to be in a band from when I was like, I don't know, 2 years old, because my mum was in a band and I used to watch her go out and rehearse. And sometimes I'd end up at her gigs because she couldn't find a babysitter or whatever, and I'd have to like hide in the background and pretend I wasn't there. Nice. And I always just wanted to be in a band. So dream come true.
So what were you doing before you saw the flyer asking for backup vocals?
I was actively looking. Like, I was looking every single day for like anyone who had a project that I was kind of interested in music wise. And I think, Abby, you put like a little demo of your voice up and I heard your voice and I was like, yeah, I want to harmonize with that. That's really nice. So yeah.
Mabel, you're a solo singer as well, aren't you? Very impressive.
Oh yeah, so I went on to uni and I studied music and stuff, and as my kind of job that I get the bills paid with, I teach singing as well. So
oh, nice.
I take an active interest in vocals.
No, that's really fortunate though to have a job in the same kind of, you know, thing you're passionate about. Like, I'm an IT director, which is great and all, but I wish I had a music job. That'd be great. You know, I don't know what it would be. Maybe, I don't know. I have no idea, but it'd be fun.
Teacher's always a good one, isn't it?
I think by the sounds of it, you'd be quite good at like writing articles or reviewing, because you like listening to albums and looking at the change in bands. You'd be quite good at reviewing. Like,
yeah, you know. That could be cool. That might be why I like the podcast as well, because I like talking to all the other bands and getting to know, because it's amazing. Actually, I've picked up a few tricks of my own because I do my own indie music. You know, it's like a passionate hobby. I don't use it for like money making or anything like that, but not by choice. It hasn't made any money. But yeah, and I've picked up tricks along the way that's helped me. So it's funny, I've been doing this show, what month is it? February. So 5 or 6 months, and I would say my own music's gotten better just talking to, you know, the 40 or 50 bands or so that I've talked to, because everybody has something they do that I could like, okay, I can incorporate that. So that's good for listeners too, because I know a lot of my listeners are other indie artists, and so they pick up, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Good way to learn, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good.
Definitely. Oh, sorry, I'm uncomfortable.
Okay. Well, it's not like you're all shoved on one couch. You know?
No, I'm not.
That's just really close to me. That I'm
you
like,
are, aren't you? We've had a busy afternoon. We've been recording all sorts of stuff, getting some content and that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's been good. Been pretty constructive.
That's why we're all a bit sweaty and tired.
No, we've had so many
sweaty and tired.
Well, I'm right there with you, because my studio is kind of a building not connected to my house. And I have I guess we call it a window unit. You know what I'm talking about? Like a window mounted air conditioner.
And
I can't really run it while I'm doing these shows, because you just, you know what I mean? You'd hear that. So yeah. So it's a warm day here. It's noon here. You know, it's like, well, it's 1 o'clock now almost. So yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm pretty hot until the show's over. And I flip the AC on. But it's cool. It's a labor of love. So it all works out. Abby was saying that you guys were busy today. You know, has it all been related to band stuff? You guys working on projects for the band?
Yeah, we've been making some videos. We're obviously, like you said about utilizing the online platforms whilst we're in lockdown, we're sort of trying to do that and making lots of videos and content and giving people an insight into how we make our music and the behind the scenes behind making our songs and things like that, and then doing a few fun covers. So spent our day doing that, haven't we?
Mm-hmm. We've got like you know, you said that you've got the Spotify up.
Yeah.
We had a song go live today, so that. It's just sort of trying to keep that, you know, trying to get some momentum, keep it going, just getting a bit of get a bit of traffic towards it, really.
Yeah, I mean, unless you guys object, we'll play it on the live stream while we're at it, if you guys are okay.
Yeah,
that's what we normally do. You know, we play some songs from the bands we're talking to. So, which kind of what I think makes the show slightly different than other podcasts, music interviews. You know, we're not just chatting the news points or the latest promos or whatnot. I like to get to know you guys, and then we talk about the tracks, kind of get behind the scenes on the songs themselves, which I think is pretty cool. Because, you know, normally you listen to a song and you'll probably never know what it was about, or you'll catch an article or something, or somebody speculating what they think it's about, you know. So it's fun to go over that stuff. So, and yeah, the single today's that's Next to Me, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Well, might as well get into it. So why don't you guys tell me about this song?
Nicholas, over to you, kid.
Well, the first lockdown, it was a proper lockdown as such. Like, we were really isolated and it was new. We didn't really know what was going on. So then I had Logic on my laptop, but I haven't really learned how to use it. So I spent just quite a bit of time learning how to do it and just writing some ideas. And some of them, it was a different style to how we'd had in the band before. So it was a bit more like testing the water, whether or not they would be band songs. And this idea sort of stemmed from that, really. And then when we could get together, Abby came over, we were sort of going over the tracks, and this one you took a shine to, I think, and then we sort of tweaked some of the words and made it more relevant or whatever, and you know, put the second verse together, developed it. We'd share ideas over what production we could add to it, and then built on it from then, like added an acoustic guitar in it towards the end, making it bit less electronic-y throughout, which is a bit more consistent with the band's sound. So it was still going in a similar direction as such.
But different, definitely. I think when we'll, like, some either Nick will write something, bring an idea forward, or we'll write together. But this, I sort of felt like the stuff that we'd done before, it was, you know, it was fresh in a really nice way. I could, like, as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh my God, this is definitely, the music was so beautiful. I was like, this is something that I would listen to, you know, like easily in my playlist, which some of the stuff before I've been like, okay, this is more pop than, you know, I'm used to in my actual influences, but it just sort of really hit home, and it's, you know, it's a little bit different, but it definitely comes back to our style still, doesn't it? It's really, I think everyone likes the song.
Yeah.
Don't we?
Yeah.
This is really easy listening. I hope you enjoy it.
Cool. I'm going to actually share my screen, and everybody watching on YouTube can actually see the Spotify. It's a pretty cool aesthetic on the screen. I don't know if you could see it from your side or not, but
yeah.
So we'll play that. I'm going to mute myself just so there's no weird feedback, and then we'll be right back. This is Next to Me by Abby and the Roses. It's their latest single. Here we go.
If only for your touch, did you tell just saying enough? I can hold you in my hands, but you're still not for
Yeah, I have no idea where I was going after that. No, after all that, like, I don't know. We'll find something to talk about. But anyway, the vocals on that, I was going to say, are really, really well done. So as far as your singing goes, was that just natural? Did you have to do training on that? Was it a combination?
No. When I was younger, I used to do musical theatre. But they train you to get rid of all the jazz and stuff in your voice. So that didn't last very long. And then when we started singing together, I was sort of a bit robotic and rigid, wasn't I? So Nick helped, and a lovely coach that Joe, our mutual friend that we mentioned earlier, she actually helped coach for a bit. I only did about 3 sessions with her, though. I'm not very good at commitment.
Unless it's Abby and the Roses, in which case she's very committed
for life. Yeah. So yes, in that sense, I have had a little bit, but no, not you know, specifically for the situation. Actually, I think that recording in a safe space with Nick, and I strangely like to sit on the floor and be really comfortable with all my snacks around me. I think that is the best environment to get the best out of my voice. I think figured out, haven't we?
Yeah, just nice and relaxed. Nice and relaxed. And we were just saying about that actually as well, like, you were able to come here and do that, weren't you?
Yeah.
But then when we went, we sort of went back into lockdown again. So with Mae's backing vocals, we had to send, she did that remotely from her gaff.
Yeah. We've started to do a little bit more remote work because Nick and Abby are a bit closer to each other than me. So you guys are both like actually in London. That? Well,
you're so close than I am.
Yeah, to be fair, I'm not that far away from you now, actually.
No.
But I'm down from Brighton. So that's, I don't know, on a good day, on a good train, it's about an hour away from London. But yeah, they sent me over all the stuff for this song, and then I sat in my bedroom and I actually did this one pretty much overnight. I remember it. I think I started at 1 o'clock in the morning and I watched the sun come up as I did my last few hmms on it, and then bounced it all and sent it over to Nick. Yeah.
It felt easy, didn't it, this one?
It did feel quite easy.
It felt like it just was flowed and fit really nicely. There was no stress and no pressure. It just sort of, the whole thing felt easy to sing as well. It was meant to be.
It was meant to be. And I should shout out our mate as well, Joe Grouse. He actually mixed the track. A lot of our new ones that we've done from here, basically, he's mixed those. He's a talented guy, so he's helping out with that.
Yeah,
he also did our first single, All This Time.
Well, that one has quite a few streams on Spotify.
Yeah, it's got a few now, isn't it?
Yeah, it says 112,000. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
A lot of streams. What'd you guys do to get, you know, so much attention on one song?
We think it was the, you know, well, when we based, that's basically our first song that we put out. I had a bit of a following on my socials before then anyway. And there was, in my sort of friends and community, there was some, you know, a little bit of hype. So as soon as we released that first song, we had immediately an influx of followers, people listening, liking and sharing the song. And the algorithm on Spotify picked that up and just sort of ran with it. And obviously it's the 6 songs, sorry, to toot our own trumpet, but I love that one. And so, yeah, it sort of got a lot of, as it was put out to more people were listening to it.
Discover Weekly and that sort of thing. And it sort of, we had like 10,000 monthly listeners at one point, which was just off of the back of getting on one playlist. So, and it is literally algorithmic based. So it's just trying to get in that situation again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. My show's playlist won't quite get you that many listeners, but
You never know, mate. Hopefully, one day.
One day,
one day, not today, but one day maybe. I don't know. Maybe with you guys on it, it'll go up. Maybe we'll help each other. Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
never can tell, right? Every playlist started small. But I'm also not pouring hundreds of dollars a month into, like, you know, promoting the playlist. I'd rather it be organic so I know how, you know, good it actually is. So
yeah, that's where we're at with our tunes as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. So do you guys put money into trying to increase, or do you increase spends, or would you rather it be organic so you know that the listens are actually people that are wanting to listen and not like a, you know, bot or something that just put your listens up so they could charge you more or anything like that?
No, and we're definitely anti the, you know, buying anything that's not organic, but in the sense of I also do social media consulting, that that's my sort of day job, if you will, and as far as putting money behind things in an organic way, so like advertisements and, you know, collaborations with different people, influencers and things like that, that's just in our eyes money to get us out to a wider audience rather than, you know, not organic growth. So yes, we do put a bit of capital behind it, but not in the sense that we're paying for fake listens or fake likes, because that's it just shoots you in the foot in the long run.
Is that good enough for you?
Yeah,
I think
no, that makes sense.
Yeah,
I found that that's pretty common across most artists. My hang-up's always been, like, you know, you could have a really great song that 9 out of 10 people that listen to it will like it, but they have to hear it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it's kind of
put it in front of them.
Kind of a catch 22. It's like, because, you know, I was reading something that the number of songs added to Spotify every day is like ridiculously high.
I think it's 20,000 a day, don't they? Yeah.
That is amazing.
You're like, how am I supposed to stand out enough for people to hear my song? It's an interesting thing to think about when you sit down, and you could go on forever in your head about it and go mad.
The other thing to make it even worse, whilst we're on it, I had this thing that out of those 20,000, how many of them are signed to record labels with a budget to promote them as well? So it's like you've got even more to battle against then, especially if you're not actually spending money promoting it. It's literally, you fall even further behind because you're definitely going to be competing with a lot of budget as well.
So it's
about clever ways to make your budgets go further, but to actually have the reality that if you're not going to allocate that, then it's going to be hard to expect anything, because it is just going to be luck then.
Yeah, interesting.
Just to make it even more depressing whilst we're on it.
Now, it makes sense. One thing I like to do on Fridays is look at the loudwire.com calendar of new releases, and some of those are bands I've never heard of. They're not that big of a band or whatnot, but I'm thinking, you know, how'd they get on this calendar? Is that an agency that they had to pay? You know, some of them are big bands, obviously, you know, but I've also discovered some smaller bands that I was happy to discover. But then I'm like, how do you get on this list? You know, because there might be 10 albums on the list, but maybe, you know, like we said, you know, 20,000 songs came out that day. And on Friday, it's probably even more. You know, 20,000 is the average. So Friday's probably like a concentration, because that's like album release day, right? So
yeah,
I wonder how, and you know, how like somebody like you or me or anybody gets like on these publications lists where it's not necessarily the label's release, but it's a music periodical, or if you will. And you know, so to make it on that would probably be really useful, but you know, how does one get on there as an indie artist? And you guys have any insight into that, or
paying to pitch towards these places is often the case?
I think you should never discount anyone you ever meet, right? Like, because when we used to do gigs and stuff, if somebody came up to me and spoke to me afterwards, I would always engage in that conversation with them, because whether or not they were just a fan that was there to say, oh, you and Abby sounded great tonight, or they were someone that was there to say, oh, I'm such and such and I work for this company, like, sometimes you just end up meeting these people and they get you these really good opportunities and you're like, wow, that just fell into my life.
Yeah, random. We've had random. So we got, we'd sort of worked with a PR company, didn't we? And then they popped us on, we got an an article with them, and then a company in LA had seen us when we were out there doing some shows and were like, hey, we do a show on KDOC or KDOC, I don't remember how you say it, which is television in LA. So we ended up doing a sort of interview on TV, but that was just sort of flukily putting ourselves out there and trying to. But yeah, it's, I mean, you can always put yourselves out to more people if you've got the money to do so, but I guess if you don't have the money to do so, then utilize the free channels and, you know, the socials and things like that, because there are people that are really good at that. The kids these days are really capitalizing on that, and especially while we're in lockdown and unable to meet people face to face, it's the best way.
Now, I noticed one big thing, well, actually two big sites, is one's Bandcamp and one is SoundCloud. Are you guys using either of those?
SoundCloud we use, but Bandcamp,
I don't think we use that, no. I've done before with a different project. Is it more about like promoting the your gigs and everything, tying it all in as well, that sort of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Or can you stream off it as well?
Bandcamp, I don't fully take advantage of everything. You can post your music at no cost, for one, right? So that's a plus. You know, you can post like albums or singles, and you can have a library, a discography. There's no limit really to what you could post. You can host your merchandise store there. I haven't seen anybody streaming on Bandcamp. I don't know if they do that.
I've never actually used that. I'll have to check it out.
It's pretty good. More of like, say you sold an album on Amazon and then you sold one on Bandcamp, you're going to get most of the money on the Bandcamp sale. And then sometimes they do Bandcamp Fridays, which is the first Friday of the month. And then the artists get all the sale. So like, if you, and then you could do a pay what you want option or put a price on an album. So, you know, if you sell something on Bandcamp for $10, you're going to make, you know, I don't know, $8 or $9 instead of on Amazon. If you sold a $10 album, you're probably making 20 cents or something, you know, who knows what you're making. If anybody buys albums, personally, I just stream music. Unless it's a certain bands, like staple bands, I'll still pick up, especially a vinyl, just kind of for the nostalgia, you know.
Yeah, I guess if it's something special like that. I think from my social media expertise, it's simple as you just said. You know, you only use streaming sites. Focus your energy on what you would consume yourself.
Now Bandcamp does stream too. It has an app. Yeah. So
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, some people like it because it is free distribution, you know, and you can upload high quality sounds like waves or FLAC, you know, the .flac, .wav files.
Yeah.
And you could, you know, artwork, custom artwork, you know, you could put links. So, I mean, it's a handy site and there's a ton of people on it already. So it's definitely an established thing. Like record labels even have Bandcamp profiles where they push their artists. So it's kind of cool.
So would you say Bandcamp's growing then, from what you know of it? So I've never heard of it either.
Yeah, look, when I started doing this show, about the second or third episode in, I was talking to VK Lynn of Spider Accomplice, and she was like, yeah, we're on Bandcamp. And I was like, really, you're on Bandcamp? I always thought that was like for, you know, your uncle with the ukulele or something that just, you know what I mean, like likes to share his music. And she's like, oh no, like record labels are using Bandcamp now. And if you go to Bandcamp to sign up, you can sign up as a band, like an individual band or like a manager or a label. So no, I'd definitely say they were growing because artists like to use it because there's less like red tape. It's just easy, you know, just easy for artists to use. Definitely check it out. I mean, it's easy to use. The upload process is fairly quick and you could set a release date or all, you know, all the stuff you do with the other, it doesn't distribute to anywhere else. It's its own platform.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So it'd be like
the SoundCloud concept then. That's
right. It'd be like uploading it right to Spotify or something.
Sure.
So yeah, it's just another distribution option. Cause some people just listen to Bandcamp and actually I found more of the UK artists I've talked to use it than the American artists I've talked to. So
apart from us, clearly.
Like I said, the show's all about picking up new tricks here and there. And, you know, it may not be beneficial for everybody, but I've never talked to anybody that uses it that didn't enjoy it, you know.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool. Pop it on the list.
Mm. It's also an easy access because like the listeners can listen to it for free as well. It's not like Bandcamp premium ad free. It's just Bandcamp. You go in there and listeners can listen without having to worry about ads or paying extra. And then if they want to contribute to, you know, to you as a band, they can. So
I see.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. Cool.
Bandcamp on the list, eh?
Yeah, definitely check nice. It out.
And I'm not, they're not paying me anything. If
I was going to say.
they're really not.
Sponsored by Bandcamp.
That would be awesome. I would accept that, but no.
You should message them.
This show is sponsored by me. Which is pretty cool because, you know, I get along with the sponsor very well. So
yeah. That's always a good thing.
It'd be funny if I canceled myself, but I probably won't. I probably won't. But anyway, one thing I meant to ask earlier. So the band name, Abbey and the Roses, I could probably figure out where the Abbey comes from. Where does the Roses come in?
I used to call myself Abbey Rose. That was my stage name as an individual artist. You shouldn't say that, did you? Solo artist.
Solo.
We knew what you meant. We knew what you meant.
Yeah. And then it was sort of. We just literally said, "Oh, that sounds cool."
The Roses. Because then it was a bit like, okay, well, whatever or whoever's involved in, you know, taking it live or getting involved, it's a bit more like, you know, one sort of thing is Abby's going to be singing.
Yeah.
So then the Roses can become anything, whether it's, you know, one or it's two of us, or whether it's, you know, or if, when we had a full band, it's like the whole band, or if it's an orchestra, they could be the Roses.
Ooh, yeah. Orchestra Abbey and the Roses. Right.
So it's limitless.
And the fans are the Roses, everyone's the Roses.
Yeah, all the Roses.
You want to be a Rose?
I'm totally rose ready. I hope I'm rose.
You're going to say no then. I was like,
it's quite handy for us because it means no. that we've got like a good thing to decorate the stage with.
Yeah.
Like we have these really pretty rose vines that we wrap around our mic stands and it's quite unique to us. Mm. Like, yeah.
If you want to be a rose, you have to get the tattoo though. Sorry.
What's it look like?
It's a rose.
I don't. I have sheet music and a big fish and angel.
The rose won't go miss then.
Yeah,
join the Roses. You know you want to.
I could probably get a cool rose tattoo. I could do like a shoulder piece, you know, like a big rose.
Yeah, no.
Sweet. Yeah, that's fine. You'll be in the club then.
If I got a rose tattoo, they'd be, oh, because you're prickly. Okay, I'd be like, no. That is not it. So what I got out of that explanation, Abby, is that you want to be able to fire and hire people at will without changing the band name. So everybody's.
Yeah, I'm a diva, and right. I just. Can't stand you. You're out.
Yeah. That way you
got fired earlier, anyway.
That's not true. No, there's fundamental members, but yeah, I think more so to add more people would be great. That's the best bit. Yeah, more the merrier.
Especially like a drummer.
What was that?
Especially like a drummer. Like.
Yeah. Please, German.
Yeah, especially
a random thing, but welcome.
German drummer.
Especially a German. You definitely need German.
Anyone, honestly, we don't mind German, French, anywhere.
Yeah. Do you have enough Germans in your band?
clearly, we don't.
You know, I don't think I've had any German guests.
No. Oof. Maybe you could hook us up.
Maybe. Well, I know a couple of people from Finland. That's probably. Close to Germany as I've talked.
That'll do.
Yeah, that'll do.
Yeah.
Us close,
then we'll
enough,
fire him. We'll meet a German.
And then I know a guy in Amsterdam, but he's not a drummer either. He's just another guitarist. So who needs that, right?
Never know.
Well,
More the merrier.
Yeah, no, we have had two guitarists on the go at some points in the history of the band.
I'd have.
Yeah,
that is more
than that, like you say. So, at this point, are you guys trying to learn any new instruments to add to it, or is everybody comfortable with what they do?
I didn't mean to laugh. It's just that I have been privately learning saxophone at home, but I don't think that's appropriate to add to Abby.
Why not say this now?
Uh-oh. You guys can do some wham type stuff.
I'm all for the saxophone.
No, but on a serious level, is anyone learning anything new for the band?
I've been learning guitar for the last 10 years and I'm still crap.
It's cool. It's not a kid show. It's all good.
Oh, right. I thought you were going to bloop that out.
No,
I've got to learn piano properly because I can barely play.
No,
play.
You can.
You're
well
good.
He's so good at the piano.
I can play one or two songs that I wrote and that's it.
He's beautiful on the keys.
He is.
It's really nice. Every time he picks up a piano.
Need to learn how to play it properly.
You are good there.
It's pretty strong too if you're picking up a piano.
Yeah, I know. I didn't mean it like that.
I guess like perhaps a baby grand could lift that.
Yeah.
You had a good enough lever. Like you could pry it up. Good time. So. Well, so you released a single today, like a quick transition there. I'm great at segues. That's a great segue into the next topic. How often do you guys expect to be dropping new singles? Keep that momentum going. I mean, I know Next to Me, you'll be like a million streams, but you'll need something to follow up.
That'd be nice.
Would be lovely, mate. If you can help out with that.
Yeah. We've got quite a few songs, actually. We used the time, didn't we, last year to sort of get a body of music together. So we're ready.
Yeah, we were hoping every couple of months. We're thinking.
You think that's the sweet spot, like every other month or so?
Yeah, like April, May vibes.
Yeah, I guess if we look at what good content. It's like you can drop something and then 3 weeks later you can remind them it's there. Then a couple of weeks later they've had enough of you just feeding them the same song. So give them another song and start again.
Yeah.
So and then throw it down their throat for a couple of months. Well, for a couple of months and do it again.
Do what? Sorry.
Scientifically, the more you hear a song, the more you like it. So you do have to keep.
Is that true?
Yeah.
It can be, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you ever notice, like, the first time you hear a song, it's weird, no matter how good it is. It's kind of like, oh, that doesn't, like, I don't understand this. And then the more you hear it, get used to it.
I think it's the same for voices. Like, new people who aren't famous, I always think it's really weird to listen to them. But then you don't think it's weird to listen to Ed Sheeran because you all know Ed Sheeran's voice. You'll listen to anything he puts out if you like it.
If you like him,
have you heard that thing that apparently your brain decides within 5 seconds subconsciously if it likes it or not?
No, judgy brain.
And then it's like if it's going to give it the time to really enjoy it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's mad. That is mad. Didn't know that.
Whether it's true or not.
He's just made that up.
When I noticed it, then I do notice it now. I'm like, I like it enough to listen a bit more and then see if I like the song and like the chord progression and the melodies. But within 5 seconds, you're like, do I like what it is? Yeah.
That's not good.
Now, I've noticed that I can listen to an artist's work and like kind of write them off. Like, oh, I don't really like this artist. But if they come back later and put out something really good, I'll go back and listen to their early stuff again. And I don't know, it's like I give them more credit. And so now I'm like, I was actually like that. You guys familiar with Eminem, I assume, the rapper?
Yeah, I've heard of Eminem.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of him as well.
He sold a couple of records. I was not into him on his first album when he came out. I just thought it was obnoxious. And then I heard his second album and I thought it was brilliant. So I was like, you know what? Let me go back and listen again. I was like, oh, his first album's pretty good. So, and movies can be that way too, though. I hated the first Resident Evil movie until the second one came out and then the first one was better. So kind of weird how the brain works.
Yeah, I do get that though. I've definitely done that before. I've done that so many times.
So what I'm hearing today is like, we can expect another single in a couple of months.
That's the plan.
Hopefully, mate. Yeah, definitely.
It'll be nice.
Be good. Try and see if we can get a bit of momentum going on this one again, and just keep seeing it. You know, as you said, what to get on, like those little playlists or whatever, those like publications, is to find out who the gatekeepers are and how much they want to get you on there, and then see if it's going to be worthwhile.
I wonder how you get on those Spotify curated playlists, because you know those are the ones that pop up for everybody.
I don't think you can actually pay to pitch though. I watched a video the other day from Spotify, and it said if you pay anyone to pitch, it's a scam. So it's literally just the pitching through your Spotify for Artists app.
But even like, you know, that publication you said about on a Friday that they'll write about the bands, there might be a PR company who've got them as a contact. So, you know, exploring such things like that maybe as an avenue.
Yeah, on the ways in.
And we've also been, we've got a connection with the BBC Intro over here. So, you know, have you heard of the BBC?
Yeah.
It's like national. I didn't know. I didn't want to, like,
you just have to have heard of Eminem.
Fair enough.
You've got like big radio stations and stuff. And what's nice about the BBC is they have a one for independent artists over here. Yeah. So anyone can submit. And in theory, if they like your song, they could select it and put it on like the Radio 1 playlist, and then you've suddenly got national exposure. And we've been getting played on BBC Intro with all of our singles that we put out, haven't we?
Yeah.
Which is nice, because one day they could take a shine to one of them and put us on Radio 1. Please, if you're listening.
The Radio 1 gods. We love you.
Well, you got my vote. Assuming like everything goes back to like safe zones and everything, and you know, live music comes back, is that something you guys are going to try to jump right into, or do you need, you know, to evaluate that when it comes, or is that even something you want to do right now, or are you happier in the vein that you're in doing the digital stuff and the videos?
It'd be nice to perform live. I would like to, but I think we want to, as we sort of mentioned before, that we'd simplified the sound, and you know, it's just the three of us trying to create this fuller sound on stage. I think we would want to make sure it's a really polished piece before we get back out onto stages. So that's probably something we'll be working on over the next few months, really. So if the world opens up this summer, well, England, then maybe we could do a few shows.
Yeah, we just started working with a talent booking agent, and we did what was like one or two shows for them, and then the lockdown started. So it's sort of, you know, we've got that avenue to explore when the time comes. But as you say, just to get ready, get polished.
As far as the lockdowns, I mean, I'm not mistaken that England is, you know, an island, right? I mean, you could easily lock it down and just keep everybody for a couple of weeks. And
apparently so, mate.
Well, they could. You know what I mean?
Right. But
the thing is as well, because London's a hub, you know, the travel hub. So people, transit from countries all over the world. It's one of the central transit points in the world. There's a few, and London was one of those, so it was harder to sort of contain that.
They probably should have.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing.
Not to do us down as Brits, but there's also the argument that some people in this country don't really like following the lockdown.
No, we do. We actually do really care. We do.
This is the first time we've seen each other and been in person in months, isn't it? Yeah. Today. Yeah.
Right. Because this is work related, so it's legit.
Exactly. But there's no right or wrong answer, to be honest, when it comes to this thing. So I guess, it's definitely different ways things could have been done. But I think.
And believe me, I'm not being judgy. I'm not being judgy. I live in Mississippi. Like, people barely wear a mask here, you know.
It's a shame.
We've got an end in sight now, so it's just sitting it out. I think they're going to open stuff up in a couple of weeks, and then end of March. So we're getting there.
The pub.
We should be out fully by summer.
Now, are they dispensing vaccines over there for you guys?
Yeah, they've already done like
13
million.
Yeah, 15 million, I think.
Yeah, made me ill.
Made me worry. Yeah. I'm conscious. I know you mentioned traveling. I'm conscious of your train. I don't know what time you've got. One of us has got to head off soon, mate. So I don't know for a train, basically. I didn't know how long the show goes on for, basically.
It's up to you, man. I have no agenda, obviously. So it can go as long, as short as you need. If you guys have to go, we've been talking for an hour. It's not like we're short of content. I don't know if you realize.
Oh, okay. I was just conscious.
Of course. We want to make sure she gets.
We don't want Maeve to miss her train, basically. She's got to get back to Brighton.
I do. I wanted to stay. but it's been sweet talking. Hopefully we can chat again with a new release. In a couple months.
And so before we jump off, though, if listeners want, because I'm going to have this also on my podcast site, so Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all those people can hear the audio version, including the song, and it'll live on the YouTube channel. And so where can people listening or watching find you, and what would be the best place for you to direct them to get to know the band more, discover your music?
So our social media, all of the social platforms, so that's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, I forgot the names. We're at Abbey the Roses, and that's ABBIE the Roses. And then you can find us on all streaming platforms, which is Abbey and the Roses.
You guys on TikTok?
We are recently, yeah. Abbey the Roses again on TikTok, yeah. Very new to us. We're just trying to figure out how we want to be involved in the TikTok app. It's a bit of a strange world, but
If you let your music go there, then other people can use it in the background of their videos, which is kind of cool. Yeah. I have a goofy kids like song called Cinnamon Buns that I did, and my daughter wanted it on Spotify, so I put it up. And her middle name is Abigail, and I call her Abby sometimes, so it's kind of a
nice. That's so sweet. Yeah, our music is on Spotify. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. TikTok.
Yeah, and so if you search, if you like look up your music, and then you could click and look at all the videos that use it. And these people were using like cooking videos or like goofy videos where they're making cinnamon rolls, and they had my song in the background. And I had no idea,
That's so cool. That's the way in. That's your fame right there. TikTok viral.
And it's the dumbest song I've ever written, and it gets the most attention.
It's always the case.
We should write one. We'll follow you. Porridge.
Yeah.
Porridge and banana.
That would probably catch on, because little kids would be like, bananas. I've heard that song so many times because of my kids. When I take her home, she said, play cinnamon buns. And then
I want to go check it out, man.
I think you can't forget the name Cinnamon Buns as a song name.
I'm gonna make a video with it later.
That'd be excellent.
Cinnamon buns.
That'd be full circle. It's goofy. I just made a beat one day, and I'm like, I have no idea, I'll just put something stupid on it, and did a bunch of weird voices, and there it was.
Nice. We'll check out.
Yeah, I hope you guys check it out today. Hopefully everybody else checks out Abbey and the Roses, the new single, Next to Me. You guys go spin it, not you guys as the band, but you guys as the listeners. I mean, you guys can spin your own music too, no shame there.
We will.
If you don't like it, who else will, right? So thanks for coming on, and hopefully we can talk again when you have some more stuff out. Maybe we could chat about that, and maybe you can go outside next time, or
that would be nice next time. Speak to you, we'll have some freedom. Thank you for having us. It's been great to chat.
All right, guys, bye everybody.
Cheers, mate. Take care, man. Cheers.
Bye.
Thanks.